All right, so I'm just going to start this morning, and I'm going to be just speaking for about 35 or so minutes. We've been looking at a topic called hearing the voice of God. We started 2 weeks before the convention, so this is the third part. And I think the main focus of this series that we're doing is to bring us to the place where we realize that God talks to every single one of us. That God wants to talk to every single one of us, and He does. However, the challenge is that we often do not realize that it is God that is talking to us. Sometimes people might think, well, I have to be a pastor or a prophet or an apostle for God to actually speak with me. And I gave the analogy that we have all these young kids, not all of them are here, run about. And as a parent, you know, when you have this, when your kids are growing up and they're like one or one and a half, and they say their first word, you're so excited. And you now stay with them and you're like trying to communicate with them and you're saying, oh, blah, 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 blah. Not that you understand what you're saying. But the same way that you're excited to at least say something to your kids as they're growing up, God is even more excited about talking to you. Do you understand? So that's the basis of all this. So I've spoken quite a lot about that. And we have the recording. If you want the recordings from the previous ones, we can just send that to you. But today I want to focus on what I've called discerning God's voice. So how do I know that it's God speaking to me? Is it me? Is it someone else? I mean, how do I really come to the place where I can say, okay, God, this is God speaking to me? So we'll look at a few things today. So I'm going to be focusing on three main sections this morning, just to help us in that area. And like I said, for us, or for me as a Christian, it's not good enough just to hear that God does this in the Bible. I want to experience it myself. So I believe that as we go along this series, we'll come to the place where God's voice becomes more distinct in our lives. Amen. So the first point I want to make this morning, we've looked at the fact of how God speaks to us. He speaks to us in our mind, in our thoughts, in different ways. We'll look at that in detail next week with regards to how God speaks to us. But like I mentioned today, I want to focus on discerning God's voice. The first point I want to make this morning, which I made, I think last time, was that every human being, as you're sitting here, as you go about your daily business, you are receiving spiritual messages 24/7. Some people might say, oh man, I mean, some people might say, oh look, I'm not spiritual, Pastor Benson. I don't believe in all that spiritual stuff. It's too, and I look at them and I say, whether you like it or not, or whether you realize it or not, every human being is spiritual. Every single human being, whether you appreciate it or whether you believe it or not. And the first point is that every single person is receiving messages from the spiritual realm 24/7, whether you realize it or not. So, what that means is this. God is speaking to you. You're speaking to yourself, and the devil is trying to speak to you as well. And I mentioned that, okay, we'll look at a few examples. Anytime we talk about the devil, sometimes we think that he's this scary person that, as they portray on the movies, and he appears and said, yes, I'm speaking to you now, and all that stuff. He does that sometimes, but majority of the time, he doesn't do that. He's very subtle. So the first point is every single human being is receiving spiritual messages all the time. So the second point I want to make this morning is this. There are three main voices that every human being hears. Three main voices. And I want to distinguish these voices so that we can begin to discern, is it me speaking to myself? Is it God speaking to me? So on and so forth, to really help us understand this. So I said there are three voices. The first voice is our own voice. And in John chapter 13, verse 21, Jesus understood what was going on in the minds of the other people he was speaking with. So he spoke to himself. It's the same way that maybe you're sitting down as we are now, and you might be saying to yourself, oh, I hope Pastor Benson is going to finish early so I can have my roast dinner by 12. I know you guys are not thinking about that, but that is your inner voice speaking to you in form of your thoughts. Or you might be like, wow, there are things that I need to do next week. I need to make sure I go to this place. I need to make sure I go to that place. You're not speaking it outwardly. Can you guys hear me? Sorry, that's John chapter 13, verse 21. That's okay. So, the first voice that speaks to you is your spirit. It is you. And that's in form of thoughts, in form of thoughts. And it's you speaking to yourself. And we all do that all the time. So that's the number one voice that speaks to us. You speak to yourself. Now, the second person that speaks to us, or the second voice, is the voice of God. If I go to Acts chapter 13 and verse 2, Acts chapter 13 and verse 2, there were a group of Christians who were just gathering, they were praying, and all that. And in Acts chapter 13 verse 2, something happens. It says, while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. So we see clearly in this portion of scripture that the Bible says the Holy Spirit said, specifically set apart Paul and Barnabas for the work that I have for them. So we see the second voice that speaks to every human being, the voice of God, the voice of the Holy Spirit, being crystal clear. And these guys were able to say, okay, this is actually the Holy Spirit speaking with me, and these are the instructions that he's giving me. Do you understand? Now, the third voice that speaks to every human being is the voice of the devil or evil spirits. And I'm going to take you through a story here that might seem very subtle. And it just tells us that every time there are times that the devil speaks and it doesn't sound like the devil. He sounds like you talking to yourself. Let's look at this example and I'll read it. It's from 1 Chronicles chapter 2 and verses 1 to 5. 1 Chronicles chapter 2 and verses 1 to 5. And I'll read. And Satan stood up against Israel. Realize, Satan stood up against Israel and provoked David to number Israel. And David said to Joab and to the rulers of the people, go, number Israel from Bathsheba even to Dan, and bring the number to me that I may know it. And Joab answered, the Lord make his people 100 and 100 times more as they are. But my Lord the king, are these not all my Lord's servants? Why then does my Lord require this thing? Why will we have to cause trespass to Israel? Nevertheless, the king's word prevailed against Joab. Wherefore, Joab departed and went through all Israel and came to Jerusalem. And Joab gave the sum of the number of the people unto David. Let me explain what happened here. So, David was sitting one day, and a thought came to his mind, and the thought was, man, I've got so many people in Israel. My army is great. Let me number them. Now, in terms of, if you look at the Bible, they counted the tribes. They had the number of people in each tribe and all that. And that was fine. But the motivation for David in this instance was a sense of pride to say, look, you know, it was like a sense of pride to say, let me look at my bank account today. There's like a few millions in my bank account. Yes. Can we switch off that thing, please? Thank you. Because of the recording. So it was like, it was from a source of pride. So David wanted to say like, yes, because of my army, I've been able to defeat all these people. Yeah, I'm really good at this. And God had said, look, don't, David, don't you ever do that. Because God knew that, look, he didn't want David to come to the point where he was thinking that all my victories is because of my strength. Do you understand? The Bible says God doesn't like pride at all. So God gave the instruction because he knew that, look, when you start growing, when you start prospering, there's a tendency that you might just think that, okay. And he says, no, don't do that, David. And David woke up one day and he said, Joab, number the people for me and come and tell me how strong we are. We're 100,000 strong. We're 30 strong and all that. I remember that apostle that was here last week. He said that there was a time in England where, you know, churches would gather, you know, he would go to these ministers' conferences, and some of them would say, oh, they would come to him and say, okay, how many people are in your church? And some people say, we're 5,000 strong. Nothing wrong with that. Some people say, we're 1,000 strong. And they will come to him and they say, how many people in your church? And he said, well, two, me and my wife. And even my wife says, I'm not even sure. She might want to start her church. It's true. He said, two, me and my wife. And my wife, you know, if she says she wants to start Reverend Omar Ministry, then it's one. And that's because he knew that, look, by the time one begins to look at that, you're now like, yeah, we're good, and all that. So God told David, don't do that. And David called his general and said, go and number my army. And the general, who was clued on, said, my Lord, because he knew what God had said. God has helped us. We don't really need to know how many people are in the army. God is our strength. But David prevailed. David said, no, 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 you do exactly what I say. I am the king. And he numbered it. Now, we're not going to read the other part of the scripture, but if you read down, God was so upset with David for doing that, that a lot of bad things happened. A lot of people died because of that. David now realized that, God, I have sinned. Now, that's not the point. The point I'm making is that the Bible tells us at the beginning of that scripture that Satan was the one that put the thought in the mind of David. And David didn't know. So David thought it was him, but it wasn't him. I mean, this is David, who the Bible says, man after God's heart. This was a man that God loved him so much that he misbehaved. God said, okay, I'm going to punish you, but I'm going to draw you back. So this was a man who loved God. This wasn't a man who was frivolous about God. So, the third voice that speaks to us is the voice of the devil or the voice of evil spirits. I remember, I think I gave this example last time. There was a pastor who, very good friend of mine, a long time ago, this was about 7 years ago. This guy went through a lot with his family and all that. So we said, look, why don't you, we're living in West London then. I said, look, my wife and I then said, why don't we just come over to our house, spend the weekend with us, relax, so that all these troubles you're facing, you can have a breather with us. And we're there, we're just talking and all that. And he said something to me. He said, Pastor Benson, man, I feel like just killing myself now. You know? That's what he told me, point blank. And you know what I told him? I said that what you said now, you're not the one that said it. That is the devil that has put that thought in your mind. So you don't feel like killing yourself. And you know what happened to him? And I remember this so clearly. It was as if a light bulb went off in his eyes and he switched. And he said, hang on. Why would I even want to kill myself? Where did that come from? Do you understand? Now, what I'm saying is this. There are a lot of thoughts that come into the hearts of people. That is the devil that has put them there. Some people be like, man, now I'm not saying it's the devil all the time. There's certain things, maybe sometimes we've been through so much that we begin to speak certain things to ourselves as well. But for a majority of some of these thoughts, is they're inspired by the devil. They are. So the devil told David here, go and do this. But he didn't know it was the devil that told him that. Because the devil didn't come in a scary manner. He didn't say, oh, I am the devil. Nay, number Israel. No. He didn't. There are certain thoughts that come to us sometimes. It's like, you're no good. You're an incompetent husband, incompetent wife. You're useless. You can never make it. Do you think if you go to that place, you know, I get these thoughts. We get these thoughts. And sometimes we embrace these thoughts as ours. And what those thoughts begin to do is that they begin to form us. I'm a reject. I'm a this. I'm a that. The Bible says that every one of us is new in Christ. Do you understand? So let's even assume that you have lived a reckless life. You have done all sorts of things. And you become born again. The Bible says that your slate has been wiped clean. You are not what you used to be. You are not one. You are not any of those things anymore. So, when you hear a voice that is saying you are righteous in Christ, you are encouraged, you are strengthened. Yes, you used to misbehave before. Maybe you misbehave now a bit, but you don't really mean to do so. That is God encouraging you. Do you understand? And the reason why this is such a topic that is dear to my heart is because I talk to people all the time. I have people who come to me and they will narrate their whole life story to me and they tell me it's over. And sitting there, I know that it is not over, that the devil is the one that has barraged their lives with these thoughts and has drawn them to a conclusion about themselves that is inaccurate. And what happens to that life? Wasted. And even if that life isn't wasted, that life becomes what I call an autopilot life, where you think that, well, whatever. You know that word, whatever, has many connotations. But your life is not whatever. Do you understand? So what am I saying here? We're saying that recognizing and discerning the voice of God is not just for prophecy. It's not just to realize that, okay, God says here, you're going to do this, this, and this. God tells us that prophetically. But hearing the voice of God or discerning the voice of God is something we need to be aware of, so that every day when you wake up in the morning and thoughts begin to fly about in your mind, you can know with time, this is God speaking to me and this is me discouraging myself sometimes. Do you understand? I wake up in the morning sometimes, right? And I'm so excited. And I'm like, why am I excited? It's true. I'm mega excited. And I look around me sometimes, and I was telling someone that if I told you some of the things I've gone through or some of the challenges that I've had, or a lot of the things that my friends and all that are going through that they tell me, you cry for me. And I say, oh, Pastor Benson, don't worry, just sit down. Put your feet up. This is so much. But I don't think about all those things. Why? Because I know that there is a voice. I know that God says specific things about specific people, specific situations. And I'm not going to entertain any voice that tells me the contrary. I will not, by choice. So, the voice I want to hear is the voice that tells me that, look, Pastor Benson, you're, and I don't want to sound like one of these YouTube motivational speakers, but I'm going to in a minute. And it goes, Pastor Benson, you're blessed and highly favored. I'm like, yes, that's who I am. Pastor Benson, you're cool. Yes, I'm cool. No, that's just my making. But words that are flowing through my spirit to tell me that, look, in Christ, I am this. In Christ, I am this. I'm not depressed, even if I have depressing situations around me. Why? Because it says that the kingdom of God is not just food and drink. It is joy, peace, righteousness. Do you understand what I mean? So how can we maintain that life or that flow with God? We all have it. It is discerning in very simple terms what God is saying to you. Do you understand? All right, so one more section. So I've looked at the fact that every human being receives spiritual messages all the time, whether you realize it or not, through your thoughts. The second point I made was that there are three types of thoughts, three types of voices that we hear: our own, the Holy Spirit, and the devil himself and his evil spirit. So the third thing I want to mention to this morning, and this is the last section, is this. How can we begin to tell which of these voices are speaking to us? How can you begin to fine-tune to say, this is me speaking to me, this is the devil, or this is the Holy Spirit? There's no formula to it, right? I'd say there's no formula, but I'm going to just give some guidelines here that have helped me personally, and I know will help you as well, to begin this journey and to be conscious of God's voice. So the first thing I want to mention is this. Three things I'm going to mention on the how do I begin to discern the voice of God. So the first one is this. We begin to know if it's God speaking more or less as we know the character of God. There's something that happened in the Bible. So I'm going to, I'll quote the scripture, then I'll describe it. Numbers chapter 16, verses 46 to 47. Numbers chapter 16, verses 46 to 47. So this was Moses with the children of Israel. He had brought them out of Egypt. And these guys were just constantly misbehaving. And not, you know, really constantly misbehaving. And there was a time Moses, they had misbehaved again. And Moses stood in front of God, the Bible tells us, with Aaron, his brother. And as God was speaking to Moses, Moses just sensed that, hang on, the way God is speaking here, he hasn't said anything, but the way he's speaking, I think he's annoyed. David now said, quickly, Aaron, take a censer and take it into the midst of the crowd, because God is annoyed. But God didn't say anything about being annoyed. God hadn't even, but because Moses knew that the way God is speaking here, I think something is up here, and he picked it up. So knowing the character of God helps us to discern. Now, what do I mean by that? Do you know if someone came to you, like, let's say after the service, for example, you walked out of this place, and someone walked up to you, and they started to talk about me, and they said something like, that Pastor Benson, the guy belongs to the mafia. He kills people, you know. He's a cold guy. He kills people. In fact, this morning before he came to church, he shot someone on the high street there, right? And they told you that. What would be your first reaction? Don't answer that question. I didn't know that. No. Your first reaction, I believe, would be, nah, that's not, you must be talking about somebody else. That can't be our Pastor Benson. Why? Why would you respond that way? Why? Because you know, you have a sense of the kind of person that I am, the types of things that I will do. So in the same way with God, as we have this understanding that God is not a human being, but he's a being. He has emotions. The Bible says Jesus dances before the angels. He rejoices. So the same way, as we know more of God, we can know that, okay, this is God speaking. For example, if someone comes to me, right, and they're saying, oh, this is what God said will happen to them, or this, and they narrate something, or maybe I switch on YouTube, and I see someone prophesying over someone and saying, this will happen, without even opening my Bible, or without trying to discern anything, I can oftentimes, that's not God speaking. That is not God speaking. Straight away. The same way that you would know. Or someone goes, I remember I was in this place and I wasn't the pastor of that church, but I felt like I should have stood up and gone to just draw that person aside and say, look, you better stop talking like this. But obviously, you know, you have to just be British and just keep calm and not say anything. And like this person was prophesying. So this person was in quote, the prophet in that place. They were prophesying, oh, there's someone here that tomorrow you're going to die. God says you're going to die. And I was waiting for the next thing. So what next? Oh, just be careful. Hang on, be careful for what? I knew, and people were like, oh yeah. I just felt sorry. I said, God doesn't talk like that. He does not talk like that. I was somewhere else. I mean, I go to all these places sometimes. This guy was, I'm not knocking anybody. These guys were, you know, proper ministers. This person wasn't. And that person went to this woman who was pregnant. And he said, how many months pregnant are you? She said, don't let anybody shake you for the next 3 months. Be careful. Be careful. Be careful. With the mic. Be careful. I was boiling. You know, because you visit a church, you can't just... I was boiling. I was like, what kind of... Now, how do I know that it's not God speaking? At all. No matter how the person is shaking, no matter how whatever. How do I know that it's not God speaking? One, the Bible tells me in Psalm 91, it says... 1,000 will fall by your left, 10,000 by your right. Nothing will happen to you. Do you understand? It says, as the mountains surround Jerusalem, so his angels surround you. Do you understand? The Bible says that when John the Baptist was in his mother's womb, the Holy Spirit was there. Do you understand? So what are you talking about? What are you talking about? That you're going to die. I mean, we're all going to die anyway, but what are you saying? The Bible says, it says he's numbered our days. That means I cannot die before it's time, irrespective of where I am. Or some people say, you better pray. Pray for what? That I shouldn't die, or that I should die, or that irrelevant. Why? Because God is with us. He says so. So I can give you loads and loads of examples. Those ones are a bit extreme. Do you get what I mean? But knowing the character of God helps us so that we won't be, people won't just panic, or you won't even panic yourself. Or someone, okay, let me just stop there. Knowing the character of God, do you understand? And how God speaks as well. Two more points and we will pray. Now, the next thing as well is God's word can never violate the Bible. God can never say anything that contradicts the Bible. And Psalm 138, the second part. So Psalm 138, verse 2b. It says, for you have exalted your word above all your name. Do you understand? So God speaking to us or asking us to do things cannot contradict the Bible. Do you understand what I mean? It cannot contradict the Bible. The Bible says, lo, I'm with you. Jesus said by himself, he says, go out into the world. He says, lo, I am with you till the end. He says, nothing by any means will hurt you. That's what he said in the Bible. So why are you telling me that God says something is going to hurt me? It can't hurt me. It is violating that word. Do you understand? Or, I mean, it's just like someone coming to tell me, oh, God says I should kill my boss. I should shoot my boss. That's a bit extreme. I mean, God says if you don't kill. So he won't tell you to shoot your boss or to defraud someone. So God's voice does not violate his word. Then the last one I'm going to look at on how do we discern the voice of God. And this one is really key. Sometimes we can distinguish quite clearly that, okay, this is the devil trying to get me to do something that doesn't line up with God's word. You might distinguish that, okay, it's me speaking to myself. But I think another key thing that would really help us, which is the third and the final thing I want to talk about in terms of discerning God's voice, is this: understanding your own desires. And I'm going to explain what I mean by that. Ezekiel chapter 13, verses 1 and 2. Ezekiel chapter 13, verses 1 and 2 says, "The word of the Lord came to me, Son of man, prophesy against the prophets of Israel who are now prophesying, against the prophets of Israel who are now prophesying, saying to those who prophesy out of their own imagination." Now, what that is saying is this: there is something that you need to be aware of and that I need to be aware of, and that is our own desires. Because our desires sometimes can cloud the judgment of God, the voice of God in our minds. For example, you know, maybe as a single guy or a single woman, you have how should I put it? Single guy. You see a girl, a sister, and you like that sister, right? Because you just like her. And you now convince yourself that, God is saying that this sister is my wife and all that. That happens. But you are the one who really has convinced yourself. So when you now go to this this sister, I don't know, some people are smiling here. Have you done that before? It happens. I'm not saying it doesn't happen. But I'm just saying we have to be aware of our own desires. Then this guy now goes to this sister and says he's convinced in his heart that God has spoken to him. And he goes and he's like, come on, once I just tell this sister that I'm in, that's it. We're getting married next week. And the sister says, hang on, I respect your views, but I don't even like you. I don't even like you. Obviously, a lot of the sisters won't say it that way. They'll say, I think we need to take it easy. But in their minds, they're like, man, no chance for you, bro. Why are you laughing? I've seen it happen quite a lot. And this guy goes back disappointed and says, God, you've disappointed me. You spoke to me. You told me that this sister is my, you know, what's happening here? Do you get what I mean? But really, God hasn't said a word to you. It is your desires that have informed that choice. That's a bit of a tricky one. Do you get what I mean? Or maybe you're applying for a job, right? And you have two options. Job A, they're paying you, let's use a random figure. Job A is paying you £50,000. Job B is paying you, they say they'll pay you £30,000, right? But looking at those things, you're now like, God, which job should I take? Hang on, which job should I take? But in your mind, you have calculated that, wow, if you're a girl, that dress in, what's in that shop? Give me one shop. H&M. Thank you. That, I've looked at H&M there. I'm going to buy green, red, purple, yellow. And to do that, £50,000 a year will cover it. But that £30,000 one, I might just be able to buy one. And in your mind, it's like, God, which one should I choose? But in your mind, you know that I want that one that is 50 grand because it will, you know what I mean? Now, am I saying we should go for? But really, God is saying, no. Take the one that is 30 grand because that's where I want you to be at this time. But like, no, that can't be God. How can God be telling me to take the lesser one? No, God, is that 50? And you clouded your own judgment by that. So why am I saying this and we'll pray? I'm saying that we have desires. Are these desires wrong? No. I mean, if you like someone and you want to marry them, there's no point, there's nothing wrong with that. But don't deceive yourself. You know, so for the brother, he should have just gone and said, look, I like you. And if she says no, don't blame God. Do you understand what I mean? So we need to be honest with ourselves. We need to be. So that you... I remember there was someone that annoyed me so much. I tell you, I was like, God, you know I'm a pastor, right? And God was like, you need to call this person, find out how they're doing, even though they've done X, Y, and Z to you. And in my mind, I was like, God, you know that person really annoyed me. And if I had my way personally, I would delete their name from my phone. You know, I would delete. You know, I was like scrolling through. Should I delete? These are things that pastors go through. Should I delete this number? If I tell you some things. And in my mind, I was like, I'm really annoyed. And I really don't want to call this person. And I was honest to myself. I said, okay, no problem. I'll call them anyway if you're asking me to do this. I didn't say, no. God says, do not call them. They have annoyed you. No, I was honest with myself. So we need to realize what our desires are, what we want, and be honest with God and say, God, you know, this is the job I want. I don't like that one. Even though they are telling me to take that one I don't like, I don't really like it anyway. So that as we're honest with ourselves, we can begin to really discern God's voice in our lives. Amen. I'm going to stop there today. So I've looked at three things this morning. We've looked at the fact that we hear from the spiritual realm all the time. The second thing is three voices speak to us. And the third thing I looked at was the fact that we can actually discern God's voice. God wants to speak to you and I because He's our Father. He wants to really speak to you, and He's speaking already. He wants you to listen to Him as well. So this morning, I just want us to pray. I'd like us to just rise for a minute. I've said a lot this morning, but the whole point that I'm trying to make is this. Our Christian walk is an exciting one. God is always speaking to us. He wants to direct us. Sometimes He just wants to tell you, how are you doing? Sometimes He just wants to say, look, you're worrying about this. Don't worry, I've got it covered. So not necessarily to tell us groundbreaking things, so to speak, but just to be there with us every time. To be our Father, to be our friend, to be that person that never leaves us nor forsakes us. So this morning, I just want us to pray and just ask God and say, God, help me. I want to really begin to discern your voice. Let's just ask that the Lord will help us this morning. Father, we thank you for the simplicity of your word. We thank you for the thoughts that you have towards us, thoughts of good, not of evil, to bring us to the expected end. Father, who are we that you're mindful of us, the Bible says? Who are we that you want to speak, that you speak to us, that you are interested in the little things that bother us in life? Father, we thank you for this. Father, we thank you. Our Father and our King, I thank you for all that you're doing in the lives of everyone that is here, and even for the people that are not here. Father, we're asking that you will deepen our relationship with you, even if we're young, we're old, so that we can begin to really discern the things that you're saying to us on a daily basis. Father, and I pray for that person who is trying to make a choice, and it's like that person has like two choices, really. And it's like you're trying to wear, like a pair of trousers that are white or another pair of trousers that are not. And you're like, which one should I take? Which choice should I make here? And I believe that God is just asking me to tell you this morning that just relax. There's no rush to make that decision now. Just leave things as they are. And this choice has to do with your child, actually. It says, don't rush. Just take some time, and I will help you to make the right choice concerning this child of yours. Father, we thank you for your word. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen.